This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of It's a Funny Thing with Celine. I am Celine, and I'm so happy that you're here today. So if you're joining us for the first time, I want to really welcome you from my heart to yours. This is an interesting show. We talk in each and every episode about the things that really matter to us, and we talk about it in a real way. So it's not about me giving you advice or telling you what to do and how to live your life. This is about us coming to greater understandings together and sharing wisdom and experience as well. So whilst I'm holding the mic today and I'm hogging it all to myself, I really welcome your questions, and I also welcome your own learning process. So each word that I say, each sentence that I say is really designed to get you to think about the way that you do things, about the way that you live your life, about the emotions that plague your mind, about those pesky thoughts that just run so fast through your mind, so much so that they are undiscovered, unconscious, and still affect your day-to-day experience. The assumption here is that you are in complete control of your experience of life. The assumption here is that you can, as a matter of fact, you can actually change everything that you do, everything that you experience. And so it is with this assumption that we look at each moment, each experience, each interaction. And whilst we know that it is so easy to fall back into a pattern of victim, of it's somebody else's fault, it's God's fault, it's just the way the universe works for me, that stuff never happens to me, it happens to other people for sure, but not to me. Instead of falling into patterns of, feeling angry or resentful towards poor people, rich people, I don't know, white people, men, women, etc., we look inside of ourselves and we ask very simple questions like, why is this happening to me right now? What is the learning here that I can experience? What is it inside of me that is causing this issue or this experience? And the more that you walk this path of self-reflection, the more you realize that there is truly nothing that you cannot change about yourself. And I think that a lot of the conversations that we're having now about self-development and mindfulness, revolve around recognizing the hurts and the traumas and the dramas that we have experienced in our lives. Look at the Me Too movement. This is a really important stage of recognizing that something terrible has happened to us, and that it is okay for us to be conscious of the horror or the difficulties that have come because of this experience or these experiences. Recognizing the shame and the resentment and the loneliness that come from these experiences. And it is a really, very, really important stage of recognizing and acknowledging. And of course, once you have acknowledged a particular situation, you're likely to feel very uncomfortable, especially if you have repressed the situation, the experience for many years. And so the question is, well, what do I do with this knowledge now? What do I do now that I remember this, now that I acknowledge the hurt that was caused to me by this situation? Now, these two stages, recognizing a situation and then wondering what you're going to do about it, are really important. They're essential in the process of healing. Now, what happens is that many of us stay stuck in the first stage. Because as difficult as it is to recognize a difficult situation, something difficult that has happened to you, because we're so quick to dismiss what happens to us, right? We're just so quick to just sort of shove it down somewhere where we're not going to be able to see it or feel it. Anyway, so as important it is to recognize what has happened to us, it is really easy to stay stuck in that first stage of acknowledgement, of not acknowledgement, acknowledging, whatever. Because it is easy to be a victim. It is easy to remain powerless. Have a look around you. Have a look at the problems that others around you experience. And have a look at, listen to the words that they say. Listen to the emotions beneath the surface. And you will see that perhaps all of them feel powerless. And because they feel powerless, to try and justify the way that they feel about something, about a specific topic or situation or experience or memory, they blame it on something or someone. They blame it on the government. They blame it on a political party. They blame it on, I don't know, the quality of the foods that they eat. They blame it on their mom, their dad, their sister, teacher. They blame it on racism. They blame it on social inequality. They blame it on economics or COVID or a recession, whatever. The truth is that the world will ebb and flow as it will, and it is beyond your control. And because it is beyond our control, and yet we have to live in societies that are deeply unfair in so many ways, it's easy to remain in the stage of being a victim, feeling powerless. And some people stay in that stage of powerlessness for years and years and years and years and decades and lifetimes. And this is the sort of mindset that really depletes your energy, that really depletes your ability to connect with the world around you and to make changes in your life. It literally takes power away from you. Now, we all know people that have changed their situations and circumstances, defying all odds. The leaders and teachers of our world. And I don't know about you, but I just love listening to these stories. I just love learning how some people have found the tenacity and the courage to defy their so-called fate and to go after a life that they could barely or not imagine. That was so far away from their circumstances, the way that they were raised, their economic situation, whatever. And yet they strived to create an amazing life for themselves and to inspire millions of people around them. And this is not something that a few of us can do because of their strength or their tenacity or their resilience, whatever. This is something that everybody can do. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your problems or challenges are, you can change everything about yourself. And the first step to do this is to step away from being a victim. We have huge issues in New Zealand on, you know, about racism and social inequalities due to race and, you know, social injustices that have been done in the past. Huge issues. Now, it is incredibly difficult to talk to somebody who has put themselves in the position of the victim. Because think about it, what do you get as a result of being a victim? You get attention, you get special attention, you get recognition, you get apologies, you get special treatment. And you get the right to hold on to your anger. Because something bad happened to you and you deserve to be compensated for what has happened to you. Now, I invite you to step away from this mindset. Because if this mindset had worked for you, it would have worked by now. And if this mindset is encouraging you to feel sorry for yourself, to feel sad and angry and depleted and disconnected and in a, you know, lack mentality, well, this mindset is no longer working for you. And it's a choice that you have to make. Do I continue to feel sorry for myself? Or, as my friend says, do I pull my finger out and do I do something about it? It is such a fun game to play, to put the shame and blame on somebody and something else. It is so fun. You can spend hours and hours and hours blaming and shaming somebody else for what they have done, what they have said. It's so fun. It feels liberating. But it truly isn't. And I believe with all my heart that it's time for you to step away from this mindset. To rise beyond this mindset and to see what else is available for you. If you were truly in charge of everything that happens for you and to you in your life, then what? What would change? Now, this is a question that I want to leave you with. I want you to ponder about this question for the next few days, few weeks. And as you ponder this question, simply observe yourself and observe your behaviors and attitudes and mindsets around what you think you can change in your life and what you think you cannot change in your life. Now, let's use the next few minutes to talk about the five different sources of energy that will nourish and nurture you. So there are five different types of energy that will nourish you and help you to feel good about life, basically. The first one, of course, is sleep and rest. And, you know, as we go through each source of energy, I would really like you to realize that each change that you can make in each of these areas is really simple and can make a huge difference. And yet we are stuck in these bad habits. We are stuck in habits and behaviors that really keep us stuck. In a certain level of reality. So my invitation to you is to have a look at each of these five areas and to see one simple change that you can make in each area. You're getting a lot of homework. All right, so the first area, of course, is sleep. I'm not going to go into the details of how sleep works and the cycles of sleep and how you can maximize your sleep because I'm not an expert in that area, but other people are. But you know, without even having to go to an expert, that there are things that you can do to improve your sleep. And one of them is to stick to a routine, you know, where you go to sleep at the same time and you wake up at the same time or similar time every day. So that's the first source of energy. The second source of energy, of course, is food and nutrition. Now, there is so much to say about food, about the kinds of food that you put in your body and why you put them in your body. And I created a whole course on this and it was fascinating. And there is so much to say. But again, it comes back to a very simple question. Do you know that you eat certain kinds of food and they're not good for you, and they're going to have a bad or a negative effect on your body, and you still eat them? Now, the trick here is to not fall into, you know, self-shame and regret and blah, 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 blah. It's to ask yourself, well, why am I eating this food? There is a reason behind everything that you do, no matter how detrimental or harmful it is to the bigger picture. So why is it that you have this specific habit? I had a manager in my previous job and she drank 5 cups of coffee every day. that is not balance. You know, why was she drinking 5 cups a day? I didn't talk about it with her, but, and I don't know her very well, but I'm going to guess that she needed more energy. That was a quick solution, quick and easy solution, drink more coffee. And she needed more energy because she was in a challenging position that required more and more of her. And the more she worked, the less energy she had, the more coffee she drank. It's a vicious cycle. We have a problem and we need a quick fix solution. And we don't look at the bigger thing, such as, she probably needed to change jobs. Or at least needed to rearrange the way she worked. Perhaps she needed to stop working on her days off. Perhaps. Who knows? So, in the topic of food, I would love for you to start asking yourself, is this food beneficial for my body? And you can hold your dinner plate, if you like, or a block of chocolate or a cup of coffee against your heart and just ask yourself, is this in my highest and best? Or is drinking or consuming this in my highest and best? Or in the highest and best for my body right now? Your body will tell you. So that's the second source of energy, food. The third source of energy is moving your body. Your body is a machine. And if you treat your machine well, your body will feel like moving and dancing and stretching and singing and going for hikes and seeing more of the beauty of the world. Are you moving your body in the way that it needs to be moved, in the way that it needs to move? What is out of balance in the way that you move your body? And let's step away from marketing for a moment and forget about going to the gym or exercising every day or doing the latest exercise regime that's in vogue at the moment. And just ask your body, how do you want to move today? How do you want to move right now? Remember, it's very simple changes that will make a huge difference in the way that you live your life. Now, the fourth source of energy is the breath. You breathe in, you energize your body. You breathe out and you relax your body. This is a cycle that happens through every single second of your day. And you might notice actually that you might breathe through a certain nostril, so the left or right nostril, right, a bit more than the other one. So there is a science behind it and I can't remember the details, but and you can look it up. But when you breathe in and out more through your right nostril, you tend to have more energy, more clarity, more focus. When you breathe more through your left nostril, you tend to need more to rest and do activities that require less of less brain power. Each cycle takes about 45 minutes, I think. Well, it doesn't matter. The point is that you should right now close your eyes if you can, if it's safe for you to do so, and think about, just observe your breath. Which nostril are you breathing or using more at the moment? Is it the right nostril or is it the left nostril? And then you know what you need to do, right? If you're breathing more through the right nostril, more activity. If you're breathing more through the left nostril right now, more rest. And the body goes through each cycle, so I think it's 45 minutes, but I'm not too sure right now as I say it. Anyway, let's say 45 minutes. So your body has this very clever way of conserving energy throughout the day. So instead of being go, 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 go from the moment you wake up, it will be breathing more through the right nostril in the first 45 minutes, and then you switch again. And then you switch again, and then you switch again, until the moment that you fall asleep. So that is one aspect of it. And of course, the other aspect of it, is that you can use your breath to nourish yourself. You know, you can use your breath to manage your emotions, as we know, and you can also use your breath to, you know, inhale love and light and to exhale whatever is no longer serving you. And you can do this on very powerful levels. I have experienced it and it's amazing just how much you can do with the simple act of breathing. And the last source of energy, of course, is mindfulness. Is what we're doing here, you know, asking ourselves the big questions. Who are you? And why are you like, you know, the way that you are? And why do you do the things that you do? And if you don't like the things that you do or the way that you are right now, then who do you want to be? And whilst, you know, all sources of energy work together to bring you health and vitality, I do believe that mindfulness or the act of asking yourself the tough questions is really the most important of all, because it will unlock the reasons why you eat too much sugar or you drink too much coffee like my boss did, or the reasons why you refuse to exercise. So mindfulness is, I believe, you know, really what brings it together. So I had much more to tell you today, but we have to stick within the 25 minutes. Otherwise, the producer will give me a call afterwards and tell me that he has to cut off some stuff. So I hope that this was helpful to you. I hope that you learned a lot. I think that if you remember only one thing from this episode, it must be that self-awareness will cure a lot of ills. So start being self-aware. Start being more self-aware. So I'm sending you so much love, and I'll speak to you very soon. Bye.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.